But this morning we'd like to invite your attention to Psalms 18. And I preached this message a couple months ago back home. And I told them we're going to read verse 2. And in this verse there's eight things about the God of our salvation. And that got kind of a shocking look for most people. And I said, don't worry, I won't keep you any longer than normal. But Psalms 18 and verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." There's eight things in this verse concerning the God of our salvation. As we look at this verse to start with, he starts out and he says, "The Lord is my rock." But when just think about the word Lord here, this is Jehovah. And Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ incarnate in the New Testament. So when we're talking about our salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we understand also that our salvation is from God, Jehovah. And it wasn't something that he thought about after he created man. Our salvation was settled in heaven before the foundation of the world. And I'm thankful, and I heard a song, and you've probably all heard it before too, on the radio the other day, that said that when this man was preaching, he says, "When I was saved, there was a new name written down in heaven in Lamb's Book of Life." And I said, no. He wrote that book before the foundation of the world. And so there's no mysteries on whose names are in there. I mean, we don't know who all will be saved. We don't know who the elect are. But there's no mysteries with God. And that's the same way we see here in verse 2. These things that we're going to mention this morning concerning our salvation, these are not mysteries with the Lord, because they are what he has established. Again, he says, "The Lord is my rock." So I want to consider the Lord is my rock first. A rock here is talking about a lofty stronghold, showing that the Lord of our salvation is the stronghold of our souls. He's the stronghold. You know, in that we see then our salvation wasn't based on anything that we've done. It's not based on anything that we do. But it's based upon the Lord, who is our fortress, our stronghold. And in the strength here, you know, I've known some individuals in my life who were very physically strong, much stronger than me. But any strength that any man has doesn't even compare to the strength of our rock. Looking down here in verse 31 of this 18th Psalm, he says, "For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God?" When you think about God being the rock of our salvation, there is no other rock. There is no other strength. There is no other salvation than what we get or what we've received from the Lord. In Deuteronomy, in chapter 32, we find these words, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." You know, just think about that concerning he is the rock. His work is perfect. And our salvation is perfect. It needs no adjustments. It needs no refining. Our salvation is perfect. Why? Because the Lord is our rock. He is our rock. And as we go on in this verse, he says, "And my fortress." A fortress is a fort of defense against an enemy. A safety zone that the enemy can't penetrate. You know, in years gone by, if there was a military fort built, it would have high walls around it. They don't necessarily have high walls around them anymore. They'll have a chain link fence around them. But here, this is talking about a fortress, a fort of defense, something that the enemy cannot penetrate. And who is our enemy? Satan is our main enemy. And all of his forces that he has in this world, but they can't penetrate our soul. You know, we're still housed in a body of flesh. And this flesh is weak. And this flesh will fail. But our salvation of our soul, Satan cannot penetrate. The Lord is our fortress. We are safe within that fort. And you see, in years gone by with those forts with the high walls built around them, people would enter those in the face of their enemy with an idea that they were safe from the enemy that was going to attack them. That didn't always happen in this world. But it is true with the fortress of the Lord around our soul. Satan cannot penetrate our souls. You know, in some of the false ideas of salvation Brother Dan's been teaching this, the Ten Commandments, and I know people in this world who believe that their salvation is based on how well they keep the Ten Commandments. Satan can penetrate that because that's your works. But he cannot penetrate a soul who has truly repented and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Someone whom Satan has taken their sins to the cross of Calvary and borne the penalty of their sins, he cannot penetrate that soul. It's safe. Safe in the arms of the Lord. Looking back in Psalms here, the 144th Psalm, Psalms 144 and verses 1 and 2. He says, "Blessed is the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." If you notice, there's several statements in those two verses that are in verse 2 here. But he's our fortress. He's our fortress. Our protector. That which Satan cannot penetrate. This is the only place to be, to have an eternal place of salvation, is to be in the fortress of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surety, and that verse that was read in the devotion this morning from Philippians 1 and verse 6 would go along with this fortress. He's going to complete what he has started. He goes on and he says, "And my deliverer." The deliverer here is one who has brought a safety from the condemnation of sin. Jesus Christ has brought us the safety from the condemnation of sin. You know, we know that Christ bore our sins on the cross. We know He became sin for us. But think about that. Whose sin was it? Who committed those sins? We did. That was our record. And He took our record. You know, and as far as our sin is concerned, as far as our time on earth, that record isn't finished yet. But yet it is finished. Because Christ took our record. He took our sin. He became sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's our deliverer. Our deliverer. Our sin. Our condemnation. He has delivered us. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 10, we find these words. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. He says, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." We have here kind of the past, present, and future of our salvation. Who delivered us from so great a death. That was completed on the cross. Who doth deliver us. This is daily. We are delivered daily. Also, he says there, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. In other words, we have no fear that we will not be delivered from the bondage of sin. We have no fear that if we die and go into the grave before the rapture, that when the rapture takes place, that these old bodies will come out of the grave glorified. Sin has no more claim on us. Our record, He is our deliverer. There is never a time when the God of our salvation will not be our deliverer. He tells us in the Scripture that He's faithful and just to forgive us those sins that are confessed unto us. How? Through the blood of Christ. Through He who is our deliverer. He delivers us continuously. This should be of great comfort unto us, the fact that we know that we have a deliverer from sin. You know, those who are trying to work their way through this world in salvation, they don't have that comfort. Oh, they may say they believe that Jesus Christ is Savior. They may say they believe salvation by grace. But yet, they're trying to do the best they can. I can't try to do anything when it comes to salvation. It all depends upon the Lord. And He is finished. You know, when he was there upon the cross and had suffered those 3 hours upon the cross, when He took that vinegar and He cried out with a loud voice, "It's finished. It's finished. It's done." Everything was taken care of. The debt was paid. And when we repented, and we repent, why did we repent? Because God quickened our souls. From what? Through the preaching of the gospel. And when He quickened us and granted us repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it was finished. We receive the finished product. You know, many of us have worked in manufacturing plants, and you can see, you know, those vehicles being put together, and at the end of that line, you had a finished product. And they'd take them out. Well, some of them had come back in for repairs, but those that were finished, they took them out and they loaded them in the boxcars and the trucks, and they sent them out. They were finished. They didn't need to be put together. They were done. Well, when we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, it was done. Perfect. But he goes on and he says, my God, my strength. As our strength, he again is our defense against the attacks of Satan and his demons. This is on a daily basis. He is our strength. Within ourselves, we have no strength. We have no abilities within ourselves. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I can take care of that? We don't know what we can take care of. Simple fact is, we cannot take care of anything. Satan, though he is defeated, though his doom is sealed, he's still much stronger than us. But Christ is our strength. What does he tell us? He says to call upon his name in the time of trouble. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. But the problem with myself and everyone else here many times, we think that we can handle this problem by ourselves. When in reality, no matter how great or how small, we need to call upon the name of the Lord. He is our strength. He is our comfort in this. And it's comforting knowing that you have someone, in this case we're talking about Christ, the eternal salvation, the eternal strength. We have someone we can call on and know, without a shadow of a doubt, there's victory in His presence. You know, in this world, we have friends and sometimes relatives that if we are working on something or need something to do, that we can call and we can depend on them to come and help. We had a work day a couple weeks ago to get ready for the conference. And when we called it, I was confident those that said they were going to come, they'd be there. And we'd accomplish the same things we need to accomplish. But when we think about our daily life and the many crises that we face, the many situations that we face that Satan's going to bring before us, the temptations, He is our strength. We can call upon His name in the time of trouble. He's an ever-present help in the time of need. Look over here a few pages in Psalm 28, in verses 7 and 8. We find these words. Psalms 28, verses 7 and 8. He says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and thy song will I praise. Or with my song I will praise Him. The Lord is my strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. He is, not me. I can do nothing of myself, but I can do all things through Him that strengtheneth me. God, who is our strength, is that ever-present help. And we see this in Psalms 46 and verse 1. Psalms 46 and verse 1, he tells us this. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. And you know, if we survey our own life, every one of us could admit that when we have problems, it started when we didn't call upon the name of the Lord. It started when we didn't look to our strength for help. In this world we live in today, Satan puts so much things before our eyes that he knows will hinder our flesh. What do we do? And it's hard, especially in summertime now, whenever you go out to Walmart or any place else, that you got to constantly be turning your head because of what comes before your eyes. Well, what do? We need to call upon the name of the Lord, who is our strength, to help us in those times. He goes on, he says, in whom I will trust. In whom I will trust. To trust here is to have total confidence in God's ability to save us and fulfill every promise given to us in Him. Do we trust Him? We say we've trusted Him with our soul, but do we trust Him with every aspect of our life? You know, when I got up this morning, I was knowing we was going to be traveling back home. I began to ask the Lord for protection as we traveled. Do I trust Him to do that? Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. But so many times, when you think about it, how many times in our life have we said we've trusted the Lord in a situation, and when things get a little tough, what do? We haven't trusted Him. We panic. And we try to figure out within our own abilities how to meet these situations. But the psalmist says, in whom I will trust. Not maybe, not might, not sometimes, but in whom I will trust. I will trust. Safety for our eternal well-being is trusting He who is the God of our salvation. You know, in this political season, we have people telling us who to trust for our well-being. I don't trust any of them. But I do trust the Lord. And I know that what takes place will be exactly what He has planned and purposed for us. But in Psalm 61 and verse 4, Psalm 61 and verse 4, he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I will trust. You know, and when we see here, he's talking about, he mentioned God's wings. Now we know that God doesn't physically have any wings. We know He doesn't physically have a hand. But He uses these terms many times, His hands, His wings, and such, to give us a, for lack of a better term, a human perspective of how to trust Him and how to depend upon Him and to give us an idea of the power and the strength. Now, when we think of wings, I always think back when we, growing up, and we had those old satin hens, and they'd have a batch of chicks, and if they thought there was any danger, they had that cluck, and those chicks would get under their wings, and they would be protecting them. And God wraps His wings around us, and we can trust. You know, those little chicks, when they'd get under those wings of their mothers, they totally trusted that she was going to protect them from whatever danger was around. We can totally trust our Lord and Savior in the time of trouble, in the time of need, to protect us. And we can go on, you know, you can go on, as we've already mentioned, you know, if we're to die before the rapture takes place and those bodies lie in the grave, we can totally trust Him that we'll come up out of those graves on the rapture. We can trust that we're going to receive those glorified bodies and that we're going to forever be in His presence. We can trust everything that He says in this book. And as we've already heard this morning, when this is God speaking to us. This is God talking to us. You know, sometimes I think people really think that they're going to go sit down and open their ears and God's going to verbally speak. He doesn't do that. He speaks to us through His Word. But He also, as He speaks to us through the Word, it's that working of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that works with the Word of God, that speaks to us. And we can trust that He will speak to us. How many times do we sit down to read the Word of God? Do we truly trust and pray that God will speak to us? Too many times people sit down with this and they read it like they read the evening newspaper, or they read a novel or some other book or magazine. This is not just an ordinary book. This is not just a newspaper, although it's more up to date than any newspaper you could read today. This is God's Word. And we can trust God's Word. You know, there's individuals who may give you their word in this world. And certain people, you'll say, well, I don't know if I can trust what they've said to us or not. But when we open God's Word, we can trust everything that He has to say unto us. And He says, my buckler. You say, what's a buckler? Well, buckler was a shield that the archers would wear on their forearm. And when they would fire their arrows, they would put that buckler in front of them to protect them from any incoming arrows. And so he says, He is my buckler. So what is this? What, as the Lord is our buckler, what He's doing, He's protecting us. He's shielding us from anything the enemy shoots at us. The Lord is my buckler as we face the enemies of a day in and day out in this world. Looking over here in Psalms 35 in verses 1 and 2, we find here it says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for me, for mine help. He's my buckler. He's my shield. We have, you know, we're not going to take the time to read it, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, the Bible tells us of the complete armor of God. And when we look at that, the complete armor of God, and He talks about, you know, the whole body of that armor, you know, it will protect every portion of our body. What? And if you read it, it's always from the head down. It doesn't talk about your back. The enemy normally is going to attack you from the front. And we have the entire armor of God. In this case here, He says, "He, my buckler, my shield." And if you look at those, you know, there's the breastplate. What's the most vulnerable part of our body? Normally it's, you know, this houses all of our vital organs. Now, grant you, some of those who have been shot here lately and killed were shot in the head. And that's where we have the helmet. But protecting us, protecting our vital organs. And spiritually, He protects our vital organs. He protects our spiritual nature. He is our buckler. the greatest buckler the child of God has is the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, and the horn of my salvation. The horn of our salvation is the power of salvation, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. Well, let's go back and read it because I'm starting to mess it up. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the horn of our salvation. It's the horn of our salvation. The Word of God, the gospel, came unto us. It's the most powerful words in this world. And everyone that hears it, well, it's not power unto them. But it's that which God uses to quicken us. It's the Word of God, we're told in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't know if you've ever seen any two-edged swords, but they can cut you down either way they swing at you. They're sharp. But he says the Word of God is sharper. It's able to divide the heart. It's able to pierce the heart. It's able to convict us. It's able to draw us. And it protects us from all things in this world. It's God speaking to us. It's God living in us. You know, one of the best things about the Word of God is you can take a read two or three, doesn't have to be chapters, two or three verses, sometimes they have only two or three words, and you can meditate upon those throughout the course of a day. And it's amazing what God will speak to us just through a verse or two or even a word or two from the Scripture. Why? Because it's the horn of our salvation. It's the power of our salvation. To a person who isn't saved by the grace of God, these are just words. But to us who are saved, it's power. It's strength. It's glory. It's a motivation. It's that which keeps us. It's what speaks to us. And then lastly, he says, and my high tower. What's a high tower? It's a lofty refuge, a place of safety from the enemy's soul. And when I first read that and seen what that meaning was, my thought went to eagles. You know, especially in mountainous areas. What do eagles do? Where do eagles build their nest? On the steepest, highest ledge. Why do they build their nest up there? Because they're almost totally protected from anything else in this world. When their young hatch out, there's no predators up there. So the Lord is our high tower. He's our strength. He's our refuge. The refuge for our souls. Nothing this world can throw at us can reach our high tower. Can't knock us off that high tower. Can't knock us out of that refuge. We're secure within that refuge. In Psalms 144 and verses 1 and 2, we find here Psalms 144 and verses 1 and 2. He says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress and my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. The Lord, he is my high tower. Again, he says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. He is the only Lord. He is the only one who can give us these promises, and we know they're secure. He's the only one that can give us these things and know that they will never be taken from us. Because he is, as we see here, Lord, he is Jehovah. He is the one who spoke all things into existence. He's the one who said, and let there be, and it was. He is the one, and we've been studying Ezekiel in Sunday school, and you see the phrase in Ezekiel many times, thus saith the Lord. You know, any time you open this book, you could say, thus saith the Lord. But thus saith the Lord, the promises, the surety that we have in our salvation. It should bring joy to our hearts and peace to our minds that we have such a God. Because all other religions only hope. Physically hope. We have a sure hope.
Amen.
Thank you.